This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 6th day of May, 2021, we are celebrating no-hitter day in Baltimore with Connor Newcomb from Locked On Orioles, plus a couple of thoughts about ghost runners on second, giving up when the score is out of hand, and all sorts of other things that have nothing to do with the Orioles-Mariners game today. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you're staying at home as we're rounding third, heading for home. We're going to beat this thing. Wear a mask. Don't be stupid. And listen to us by asking your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. And hey, why not Locked On Orioles with Connor Newcomb? You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. Same handle on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So happy to have on friend of the podcast, also the friend of the Bull Durham podcast, a voice you've heard in the minor leagues, and now you're hearing us yap about the Orioles. Not a lot of us thought there was going to be a lot of fun things to talk about the Orioles this year, but here we are. They found the best way to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, and that is to have a no-hitter. Hey, it is Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles. How you doing?
I'm good, Sully. I am still riding the high of what might be the Orioles' defining moment of 2021, but that's okay if it's no-hitter.
Yeah. Well, now you know what it feels like to be a Padres fan, to have a no-hitter. I don't know your age. I remember because I was in college at the time in 1991 when the Orioles were playing a kind of disappointing A's team. The A's had won three straight pennants but had slumped in 91. And Bob Mellacki and Orioles legend Mike Flanagan and Mark Williamson, who I think may have won the Rookie of the Year, or at least was a contender, and Greg Olson, who was an all-star closer for a little bit, and they combined for a 2-0 no-hitter on the July 13, 1991. That was the last no-hitter in Orioles history. The previous last one was by Jim Palmer. There's a couple other ones. Tom Phoebus threw one. And the one I find the single absolutely bizarre one is Hall of Fame reliever Hoyt Wilhelm started a game and threw a no-hitter for the Orioles back in the some point in the 60s. But now those are all ancient history. John Means threw a no-hitter. And tell me your thoughts.
I mean, the first thing is, like, it's been building to this for John Means. It's not like he came in with a 5.5 ERA and shocked the world. I mean, he was at the top of ERA leaderboards, the WHIP leaderboards, the pitcher war leaderboards, you know, through April. I think he was a little upset he was not named AL pitcher of the month in April, to be quite honest with you. I mean, he was right up there, and it's been building to this. I mean, he had, you know, his one bad start maybe this year was 5 innings, 2 runs the last time he faced the Mariners. Every other start has been, you know, right around 7 innings, maybe 1 run, maybe 2. He's been great. And, you know, he started at the end of 2020, had 4 great starts. Came into this year, you know, 6 more great starts, and here we are. And for Orioles fans, you know, obviously it's surprising to see a no-hitter. But to see him pitching this well, it's kind of like been building to this. And we didn't know it would build to a performance this good this quickly. But here we are, and now, you know, if you didn't know John Means before, you know him now, and you know the Orioles. You know, it's been a long time since the Orioles have had a true ace. Like, they've had some pitchers who might have started opening day on their staff, but they have not had a true ace since Mike Mussina. And we are getting to that at least true ace territory with John Means.
Yeah, and this is a guy who's not a heralded prospect, bounced around from a community college to West Virginia University, and was not a high draft, was an 11th round pick, was never considered to be a top pitching prospect. And he was kind of a late bleeder. He didn't make his big league debut until he was 25 years old. But, you know, he was the runner-up for Rookie of the Year in 2019, an all-star. And this year looks like, at least, you know, a little more than 1 month into the season, looks like a legit Cy Young contender, certainly a legit all-star, and certainly someone who, if they said, who are you going to start the all-star game, if you said John Means, it wouldn't be a completely baffling pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's right in that contention right now. I mean, you know, you mentioned the 2019 all-star game. He didn't even pitch in that game. He was the Orioles' only all-star. Obviously, every team has to have an all-star. And he was having a really good season. Don't get me wrong. You know, he finished second in Rookie of the Year voting. He deserved it. But, you know, there's a little caveat when you're the team's only all-star. Yeah. Alex Cora, they asked him after the game because I believe he was the only AL pitcher who did not appear in the all-star game. And, of course, the Baltimore writers asked him after, and they said, Means, we knew from the beginning, was our contingency plan just in case the game went into extras to pitch. So, you know, he's gone from that level of all-star where, I mean, he's not going to throw a no-hitter every day. But if he keeps throwing these seven innings, one-run games that he continues to do with seven or eight strikeouts, he's going to be in that contention. And, you know, the guys who were supposed to make those, you know, next leaps this year, like, you know, even though Lucas Giolito, you know, has had his high moments, he's also been shelled a couple of times. And, you know, there's been a few other pitchers who have had incredible starts, but have also, you know, had some bad starts. John Means essentially hasn't had that bad start yet. And if he just keeps throwing solid like this, people are going to look up when it's time to name that starter in July, and he might be right atop that ERA leaderboard.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Gerrit Cole's having a marvelous start to the season with the Yankees, but Means is tremendous. All right, what point today, because it was a day game being played in Washington State at whatever the heck the Mariners are calling their park now, at what point did you say to yourself, huh, looks like it might be happening?
Well, I got off with a guest. We were recording a Locked On Orioles that was supposed to be dropped tomorrow had this not happened.
No, you've now banked one for Friday.
Exactly. And we stopped recording after the fourth inning, and I looked at the box score and I said, oh, John Means hasn't allowed a hit. You know, I was going to flip it on anyway. I think once he got through six, and how quickly he got through the fifth and sixth innings, you know, they were pretty easy innings. He didn't really labor against anybody. And you looked at the pitch count, and it was, I mean, maybe low 70s, I think in the high 60s through six innings. And I said, you know, not only can he do this, but he has that pitch count, you know, it's not at 100 through six innings. Like, you know, it won't have to be a combined no hitter. Like, he can do this. And the fact that the changeup, which is his number one pitch, was working so well, and he was getting so many swings and misses on that changeup, that's when you know he's on. That combined with the Mariners, they've got some holes in their lineup. We all know that. They've got a lot of guys hitting under 200. So it kind of all came together. And once that sixth inning ended, I honestly felt pretty good about him at least getting himself into the eighth or ninth and having a real shot to do it.
Yeah, it's around the time for me too. I mean, like, I was actually driving in LA County today. So I was running some errands and I had to pick something up. And at one point I was listening to a podcast. I think it was Locked On Orioles. I think that was the podcast I was listening to, is Locked On Orioles. And it just happened to, when I was filling my car up with gas, I just happened to flip over to see what some of the scores were, because I had listened to a bunch of the Reds White Sox game, which was scoreless into the 10th. We'll talk about a little bit in segment two today. And I saw that it said perfect game in like the sixth or seventh inning. And I flipped it over. Now, of course, it wasn't a perfect game because there was a wild pitch on a third strike of which the runner reached. I remember taking a quick glance because the app said perfect game, but I also saw there was a caught stealing. I thought, how could there be a caught stealing if it's a perfect game? And so evidently I was listening to the Baltimore feed, which did not include you, strangely. And it said that there was a wild pitch on a third strike. And so the runner reached there and he tried to steal second and was thrown out. So it was kind of a perfect game, but it was
almost. Yeah, I will say it was a little disappointing because that happened all the way back in the third inning. So it's not like it happens in the seventh or eighth or ninth when you're on your edge for perfect game. It happens in the third. So you're thinking no hitter the whole way. But when you go back and look at it, this was not a, you know, pitch that bounced 5 feet in front of home plate that somebody swung at and darted off towards the dugout. This was a pitch in the dirt, but this was a pretty blockable pitch. And the Orioles, you know, as far as the eye test goes and as far as the kind of defensive metrics for catchers go, they have the worst set of defensive catchers in baseball. And it kind of hurt John Means today a little bit. Like, Pedro Severino probably should have blocked that ball. He did not. And who knows, it would have played such a big role in this game. So it's not in the same category as Armando Galarraga, but in a different way, it was a very much almost perfect game.
Oh, for God's sakes, don't bring up a blown second, you know, third out of a perfect game to a wild pitch in the third.
Which is why I said it's not in the same category.
Okay, thank you. It's not in the same category. It's like comparing a saltine cracker to Thanksgiving dinner. I just want to say one quick thing about another player on your team right now, because he's become my new most fascinating figure in baseball this year, Cesar Valdez, who is back from the majors. I had never heard of him, I'll be blunt. He played in less than 30 games over three seasons, so from 2010 to 2020, bounced all over the place. And he may make the All-Star team as a closer this year. And he's doing it with pitches that wouldn't get a speeding ticket. And I don't know how long he's going to be kicking this up, but I love this story. The guy who had a cup of coffee with the majors, played all over creation, never pitching well in the first 20 games of his career. And now suddenly here he is putting up great numbers and being the person the Orioles can hand the ball to for a save.
It's fantastic. It, you know, obviously I mentioned it earlier, this could be the defining moment of the Orioles in 2021 and John Means, and I'll take that. But I think the defining player that keeps you watching every night, one of them at least, it's got to be Cesar Valdez. I mean, he calls it the dead fish. It is a 78 mile per hour changeup that moves and darts and goes, you know, 10 different ways. And as you said, you know, he's not throwing the ball very hard, but 78 miles an hour, that thing jumps around. Nobody can seem to hit it. And, you know, they signed him out of the Mexican League. He was pitching in the Dominican Winter League. And there were all these murmurs last year at summer camp. This guy, Cesar Valdez, you know, he's pitching well. He only throws 78, but he's pitching well. All of a sudden, he was the Oriole closer by the end of last year. And here we are. He's probably the softest tossing closer in a long, long time. People have brought up the name Stu Miller with the Orioles as kind of the comparison to Valdez. But it's almost not even the same thing, because, you know, it's not a straight change. It's a deceptive, almost curveball slider looking changeup. I will say it is hilarious when he strikes out Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. It makes your day in the ninth inning.
Well, look, there's two great feel-good stories, because Means was a guy who set up a LinkedIn page because, you know, I should better look for a gig. I love when someone said he even substitute taught. And I'm going, well, so did your pal Sully. And that's not, you know, there's a lot of things you could do for dough that have a lot less dignity than being a substitute teacher. Which brings me to my next topic, which is, when am I going to throw my first no-hitter in my major league career? Do you think I got a shot this year?
Yeah, it could happen. You know, if you can call guys throwing no-hitters like Joe Musgrove, I think you can do it yourself.
All right, Connor, where can people listen to your podcast?
Yeah, you can check out Locked On Orioles wherever you get podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Orioles, and we put out a lot of content, and obviously a lot going on that account today after the John Means no-hitter.
Hey, are you going to do a locker room?
We are going to do a locker room tomorrow. Thursday, Orioles have an off day, and we're going to talk all about the no-hitter.
Well, look, for those of you who don't know, Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with Connor. I'm going to do some next week. You get athletes, insiders. They can talk real time about your favorite team or sport. Now, you're going to be doing one tomorrow, which will be the 7th of May. That's right?
Yeah.
And it's a perfect place if you want to join or start a conversation about the league. You want to have debates, watch parties, talk about no hitters, talk about LinkedIn pages that John Means may have. Look, at be sure to join Connor this week, this Friday. He's going to be hosting it. What time do you think it'll be?
We're thinking 4 p.m. Eastern.
All right, cool. Well, here's what you got to do. You got to download the free Locker Room app now. Currently available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the Locked On Orioles group, and you'll get the latest updates. Follow Connor at, what's your Twitter handle again?
At Connor Newcomb.
And there's an underscore at the end, right?
There is an underscore at the end, yes.
Then you'll be notified when the room goes live. You're not going to miss it. And it's going to be a great talk about Orioles baseball and the great no-hitter that was thrown on Cinco de Mayo. Just go download the free app, download Locker Room today. Locker Room, it's changing the way that we talk about sports. Now look at, you and I were talking about the Orioles, and they have some good things, but they're not perfect. That engine is not running perfectly. Okay, not every day is a John Means day. But do you know what? Sometimes you gotta pop the hood of your team and fix the engine. Kind of like I need to for my car. But if I'm looking for parts, do you know where I go, Connor Newcomb?
I think you go to rockauto.com.
I go to rockauto.com. You can go to Bet Online and bet on that I go to rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers like us, Connor. But rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody. It doesn't require membership or an account login. Best of all, the prices are always reliably low and same for everybody. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts, Connor? Why would you do it? That would not be smart. Do what is smart? Going to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. What's that address again?
rockauto.com.
rockauto.com. I want to talk a little bit about something I brought up in yesterday's podcast, the idea of waving the white flag in case you want to save your pitchers, or you just know this game is done. We are done. We are Griffin done, and it's time to move on. Now, I had a couple people tweet me or write to me saying that they were not for that. And one specifically, at Gray Hair Joe, who is a Twitter follower of mine, said, as a Red Sox fan, I know no lead is safe in Fenway Park. I've seen too many comebacks. Also, most fans want to be at the ballpark for a full game. Okay. First and foremost, I totally get it. I grew up watching games at Fenway Park as well. I know that you can certainly come barreling back, kind of like that opening weekend against Seattle back in, what was it, 1998, and the huge comeback, and Mo Vaughn hit the walk-off home run. I know there's plenty of games at Fenway where this happened. And the game, one of the games I brought up to wave the white flag was Coors Field, and that's not even baseball. I mean, that could be, you know, a 30-29 final. It's called a pitcher's duel there. It's a tactic that shouldn't be used or abused or done too often, but I do think that especially if you have a situation where you're trying to preserve pitchers or it's the first game of a doubleheader, you should have that option. I'm going to go back. This is an extreme example, but on August 22nd, 2007, the Texas Rangers and the Baltimore Orioles locked antlers in a doubleheader. Now, the Orioles scored first. In fact, they had a 3-0 lead going into the fourth. Hey, Orioles fans, get ready. You have a shot to defeat the Texas Rangers. By the way, that year, neither the Rangers nor the Orioles were particularly any good. Then the Rangers scored 5 in the fourth inning to take the lead. Then they scored 9 in the sixth inning to burst ahead 14-3. Then they scored 10 in the eighth inning. Then they scored 6 in the ninth inning. The final score was, say it with me, folks, the final score was 30-3, and Texas won that on the road. So those were people in Baltimore sitting in the stands watching that if the Orioles tripled their run output, they would still get blown out. Okay? If they had 9 times the runs that they had, they would still lose. My favorite part about that game, by the way, was that pitcher Wes Littleton of the Rangers got a save in that 33 games because he pitched the final 3 innings. This is back when a doubleheader meant 9 innings instead of 7 innings. And yes, the 30-3 game was game 1 of a doubleheader. Game 1. Now, as I said before, the score was 5-3 going to the sixth. My God, it's a nail biter. By the time the Rangers made it 14-3, and you knew there was a second game in the doubleheader coming up, the Orioles should have had the chance to say, do you want, we're not going to score that many runs. And instead, they let up another 16. When they were down 14-3, they weren't even halfway through letting up runs. And, you know, when you look up and you had the Rangers' eighth and ninth hitters have each driven in seven runs, which was the case. Jared Saltalamacchia drove in seven. Ramon Vasquez drove in seven. At some point, you got to say, is this good for the game? And the whole idea of the fans wanting to be there for the whole game. I've been there for plenty of games, and not just Dodger games where they're trying to beat the traffic. I've been there for plenty of games at Fenway, at Yankee Stadium, at Veterans Stadium, at Shea, you know, the places where the real baseball fans live, according to the way people think. And I've seen plenty of blowout games in the sixth or seventh inning where people look around and said, I'm out of here. When you see a blowout game and they pan around the stadium, is it packed to the gills? Even when the team is winning, when the home team is winning, I'm not talking about a playoff game. I'm talking about a regular season game. I like to stay for the whole game, but I've left a couple of times, usually when I'm with people and they're all like, hey, let's beat the traffic. And let me tell you something, traffic is a reality at Dodger Stadium. So look, I'm not saying to make it a mandatory thing. I just think they should have the option. Now, talking about something else that I've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast, and I know I've talked about a lot, my hatred of the ghost runner on second base to start off an inning. You know, I mean, it had its ugly head rise up in another very well-pitched game today. It's nothing to do with a no-hitter, where you had Sonny Gray and Dallas Keuchel faced off in a game between the White Sox and the Cincinnati Reds. And it was a very well-played, well-pitched game. It was. Both starting pitchers were tremendous. And it was a shame that either one of them had to lose. In fact, when I do Who Owns Baseball, I'm pretty sure Dallas Keuchel is going to earn half a wob, despite the fact that the White Sox got shut out. It wasn't his fault. And Gray pitched seven innings, struck out eight, no runs. Keuchel, seven innings, two hits, three hits, three walks, one strikeout. Both starting pitchers were exquisite. And it went to the 10th. Now, the Reds wiggled out of trouble in the 10th, but it was unearned trouble. And then the Reds scored the ghost runner in the bottom of the 10th. And here's a wonderful, wonderful game that may have ramifications by the end of the year, especially if the American League Central remains razor thin. A game here or a game there could be the difference between being a division winner, a wild card winner, or playing golf. And, you know, one of the games was won with a ghost runner. And I hate that. But I may have to just come to grips with it, because it looks like it may be staying. And I really wonder how I would have reacted to the designated hitter, a rule that's been around as long as I've been following baseball. And I am someone who, I like pitchers batting, but I also like the designated hitter. I like the variety. I like two different ways of doing it. I bet if I was around when the designated hitter was implemented after the 1972 season, I may have been one of those people to say, hey, this isn't even baseball. They're allowed to have another hitter. The whole point is to have the pitcher come up and you're not sure whether you should pinch hit for him or whatnot. That being said, that brand of baseball still exists, which is one of the reasons why I don't want a universal DH. And as I said, if there is a universal DH, then realign, because there's no difference between the American League and the National League, then realign. But I wonder if this is me being stubborn old man Sully. I was thinking about my friends, my many friends who are diehard hockey fans, and how a lot of them have grown to like the shootout that they have at the end of the game. For a while, you had ties and the point system based on ties. For a while, you got a point for an overtime loss, which I found strange, and now they have the shootout. And now I'm perfectly fine with the shootout because I'm a casual hockey fan at best. I don't think I've watched a game this year. I used to watch a bunch when I lived in New York and my best buddy Richie was a diehard hockey fan. So we would watch hanging out in my apartment and we went to a couple of games, but I haven't thought about the NHL I'll watch part of the Stanley Cup Finals because the Stanley Cup Finals are exciting, but I don't think I can name three players right now. So I'm an absolute casual fan who enjoys the shootout. And I would imagine if there is a baseball fan out there who's the equivalent of me as a hockey fan, would I be okay with Ghost Runner on second? And if that's the case, should I take the advice of the Sergeant in Stripes and say, lighten up, Francis? So I don't know. It just may be something that I don't like, but is there, and we move on. We're not going to decide a World Series game based on it. We're not going to decide a pennant based on it. The thing that gets to me is if they decide a division title. If we get down to like we had in 2018, where there were teams finishing the season tied, where they do play-in games, and if a division title is decided by a Ghost Runner, that might be tough for me to handle. But then again, I may have to lighten up, Francis, because it appears to me that it is here for good and here to stay. And I don't want to turn this podcast into Sully complains about this, Sully complains about that. To me, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to watch games. I'm here to like baseball. And it's a sure bet that this is going to stick around. So I better adjust. And if you're going to bet, go to Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action on Bet Online. Get all the news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, Stanley Cup playoffs, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs for the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robinhood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is simple, as players' values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. Two, the good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher the value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock and a rookie with huge upside, or grab the blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. Kind of unbelievable the Dodgers lost another one-run game. It seems to be all they're doing is losing one-run games. I still think that this is not going to make that much of a dent, and we'll all have forgotten this by the end of the year, but Dodgers just got swept by a Cubs team that is desperate to start selling, and the Dodgers are currently only two games above 500. That's weird. That's really weird. But we're going on to a Thursday filled with baseball today, and there's a lot of day games that are going on this Thursday, or as we call it here in California, morning games. That's right. The Yankees are playing the Astros at 10 a.m. California time. God, the West Coast is great. Gerrit Cole is going to probably torment his former employers. The team that did not put him in Game 7 of the World Series one of the stupidest managerial decisions in the history of baseball. In fact, the last two times the deciding game of the World Series was played, a monumentally stupid managerial decision was made. Not bringing in Cole in Game 7 against Washington in 2019 and taking out the Snell in Game 6 of last year's World Series. Why did I forget Blake Snell's name? It doesn't matter. Cole's going to beat the Astros. You can bet on it. Now, the Phillies are in first place all by their lonesome. And Wheeler, who has pitched really well in his last game, is going up against Woodruff of the Brewers, who's pitched great all year long. So that's going to be an interesting game because the Brewers have fallen out of first place. And the Phillies are in first place, even though the Brewers have a better record than the Phillies. Somehow the Red Sox lost an extra inning game to the Tigers. I don't know how that happened. Sociologists will be studying that game and be unsure of how the Red Sox actually lost. Nathan Eovaldi is going up against Turnbull. And believe it or not, the Red Sox are going to try to win that series instead of sweeping it. The Twins, who just looked terrible, are handing the ball to Pineda, who's looked pretty good. Lyles is pitching for the Rangers. And somehow the Twins are one of the worst teams in the American League. I don't know how that happened. Is Rocco Baldelli going to be in trouble? I'm just saying. The first-place Cardinals are playing the not-first-place Mets. Gant going up against Walker. The American League Central is currently in a three-way tie. The Indians, Royals, and White Sox are tied. It will not be a three-way tie at the end of the day tomorrow. The White Sox have the day off, but Cleveland is taking on Kansas City. Duffy, who's been great, McKenzie, who's not been great, but is super talented, the winner of that game that starts at 11 in the morning here in California will be in first place going into the weekend. The A's bullpen absolutely collapsed in the game last night against Toronto. Houston's favorite pitcher, Fiers, is going against Ryu, who I believe was on that Dodger team who had the World Series stolen from them. The A's are trying to become the first team to win 20 games this year. Remember when they started this year horrifically? They're going to take a shot at being the first of 20. They were going to do that last night, but their bullpen decided to cough the game up. The Nationals and the Braves, two teams that should be looking at first place or getting close to it. Smiley, well, one point is one of the best pitching prospects in baseball, is going up against John Lester, who is a borderline Hall of Famer. Another borderline Hall of Famer is Madison Bumgarner, who pitched exquisitely in the last few weeks. As he got his groove back, he's going up against Lopez of the Marlins. The Angels just beat the Rays. No, it's the other way around. The Rays just beat the Angels. It doesn't matter. The Rays and the Angels are playing tomorrow. No one knows who the Rays are pitching because I'm probably going to use an opener. It's not a odds-on favorite, but there's an outside chance that I'm pitching. So I better warm up and get my arm loose. And you can go to the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app or go to wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Thanks a lot to Connor Newcomb for jumping on to talk a little bit about the Orioles no-hitter. This has been Locked On MLB for the 6th day of May, 2021. Get well, Mom. And for everybody else, I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you in the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.